Leviticus chapter 5. Pastor Bill is at work at the Pentagon, which I think is really cool. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that, but I did, so that's where he's at. It's too late. Don't give that away to the Russians. All right. So we're going to be in Leviticus chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 4. That is page, and I'll give you a page number, 123, if you're in the Pew Bibles. And we're going to talk about oaths and swearing tonight. Not the swearing like, I can't believe you said that word, but swearing an oath, you know, swearing on heaven or in God's name. We're going to look at what the Old Testament has to say, starting in Leviticus, and we're going to end with Jesus' words, which are really surprising when you see what the Old Testament has to say first. So that's the goal. We're going to talk about oaths and Christians tonight. So if I could get a volunteer named, who has it open? Brother Tim, can you read verse 4 of Leviticus chapter 5?
For if a person thoughtlessly takes an oath to do anything, whether good or evil, in any matter one might carelessly swear about, even though he is unaware of it, in any case, when he learns of it, he will be guilty.
Thank you. And so remember, we've been going through chapter 5 on Sunday mornings, Pastor Bill has, and we see all these accidental sins. Whether you touched an animal you shouldn't have touched, whether you touched a person you shouldn't have touched, accidentally you realize it, you go and offer a sacrifice. And one of those accidental sins is a careless oath. And speaking thoughtlessly with his lips to do evil or good, and may pronounce by an oath, brother, I appear to be repeating, should I pull my mic up or down? Will that help you? I'm hearing an echo. You could help with that. And so the swearing of a thoughtless oath was a sin. And so we have to define what an oath is. An oath is not just a promise. It's not just a solemn promise. It's a promise based on a guarantee. And so if I were to say, I promise I will be there tomorrow, that's a promise. And I say, I swear by the name of my God that I will be there tomorrow. Do you see how much more serious that just got? You know, you can swear by heaven or by your great-grandfather's grave or whatever people swear by. An oath is a promise with a guarantee attached that makes it really true. And you can really trust me because I just swore. I just gave an oath. And so when someone does that thoughtlessly, carelessly, it's a sin. But notice that the swearing an oath in and of itself is not a sin. It's the thoughtless action of invoking God's name when you weren't even thinking about it or serious about it. It's basically taking the Lord's name in vain, like we read in Exodus chapter 20. We usually tend to interpret that as don't say it as a swear word, and we shouldn't. But the real original context was don't invoke God's name and then go back on it, because you are impugning God's character when you do. And so we see that a careless oath is a sin, but not oaths in and of itself. People swore oaths all the time in the Old Testament. You remember in Abraham's life, this is Genesis 21, don't turn there. There's King Abimelech, who's kind of this evil king, and they have a fight over a well, him and Abraham. And Abimelech says, all right, Abraham, swear to me by your God that you will not do me harm. And Abraham said, I swear. And they made an oath. They both made oaths that day to do well to each other. We see a lot of, every time David said, as the Lord lives, just search as the Lord lives on Blue Letter Bible, it's like 50 times. And David said, as the Lord lives, this, as the Lord lives, that. That's a way of swearing an oath. As surely as God is alive, I am going to do this. So we see all kinds of oaths in the Old Testament. There were even, the Israelites were commanded to take oaths in God's name. I was really surprised at this. I did not know this. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to turn quite a bit. I'll try to spare us, but if your fingers get tired, just have your spouse help you out. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10, it's page 221. I want you to see Moses, the Bible, command the Israelites to take oaths specifically in God's name. We're going to read verses 10 through 14. Bless you. Andy Hubert, would you read verses 10 through 14 for us? Deuteronomy chapter 6.
When the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with good, great and good cities that you did not fill, and houses full of good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear, and you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after the gods, of the peoples who are around you.
Thank you, Andy. Yeah, we're just cutting it off. There you go. Thank you. So the New King James says, you shall take oaths in his name at the end of verse 13. So why do you think the Israelites are being commanded to take oaths specifically in God's name? Sarah?
It's, given the context, it seems to be in opposition to swearing to God to the other nations.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, in verse 14, right afterwards, he says, you shall not go after other gods. After saying, you shall swear oaths in God's name. So the Israelites, when they were going to swear an oath, when they were going to make a very solemn promise with a guarantee, they were to invoke God's name to do it. We won't turn there, but I want to read to you just a couple of verses. Numbers chapter 30 says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. So if you make the vow, you got to keep it. That's the rule of the Old Testament. I can sum it up in one sentence. If you make a vow in God's name, great, that's fine. You better keep it, or it's a sin. Leviticus 19 says, you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. When I think about why are oaths even in existence? I think oaths are in existence because people lie and people deceive and people say one thing and do another. And so there was this problem that was then and is now too, where people will lie. So someone at some point said, all right, we need to make a way where people won't lie. So we'll make an oath. We'll make a promise based on a guarantee. And if you say that, it's going to conquer people's propensity to lie. But do you think it actually stopped lying?
No.
Do you think it actually made people all the time keep their vows? I wish it didn't. You know, the problem wasn't that saying it isn't strong enough. You have to use an oath. The problem is the sin in our hearts, the sin in their hearts, where we are all likely at times to say one thing and not follow through with it. And so we see this oath, this promise come in to defeat the lie, but it doesn't really work, does it? And we're going to get to that in just a minute with Jesus' words. But I do want you to see one more thing in the Old Testament. We'll have plenty of time for Jesus. Turn to Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to see that not only did God's people swear oaths, like Abraham, like David, not only were the Israelites commanded to take oaths in God's name specifically, God himself took oaths. He swore oaths. And one example, probably the best example, is Genesis chapter 22 and page 93 of our... I'm in Exodus 22. That's not right. Let me get to the right book. And one of the greatest examples is in Genesis 22, page 24 of our Bibles. We're going to start in verse 15. So Abraham finally has a son named Isaac, and now all of God's promises to Abraham can come true through Isaac. And then God tells Abraham one day, go sacrifice your son Isaac to me. And Abraham, with great faith, gets up in the morning. He takes Isaac. He's about to kill Isaac. He ties him up. He has the wood laid out. He raises the knife. The angel of the Lord says, Abraham, Abraham, stop. And then the angel of the Lord says this in verse 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord. You hear that? By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. And so God had made promises to Abraham before. And this time, chapter 22, God swears an oath to do these things. Now, we just talked about why people swear oaths, because we lie sometimes. God doesn't lie, never lies. His saying is his doing. Why would God swear an oath? Wasn't it enough that he promised? Wasn't it enough that he said it? Why do you think God swore an oath in Genesis 22?
Loyalty. Abraham was loyal to God, so God, in turn, would be loyal to Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're onto something. I think God was going to great lengths to give Abraham and us every reason to trust him. He didn't have to bind himself by swearing an oath. He binds himself every time he speaks.
Right.
He never breaks his word or his character. But in this instance, and in a couple more, you can look them up later in Isaiah and the book of Psalms, Psalm 110, we see God swear oaths. And I think God is condescending to us and giving us even more reason that we can trust him. Now, you can look up Hebrews 6. We don't have time to go there tonight, but Hebrews chapter 6 talks about this very passage of why God swore an oath. And it says that God was thinking of us when he swore the oath to Abraham. So it says he swore an oath to give the heirs of the promise, of Abraham's promise, that's us, Christians, even more reason to hold to our hope in Christ. And so I find it just fascinating, just amazing that God was thinking of me when he swore an oath to Abraham way back when. He was thinking of you too. So in the Old Testament, we've been very brief, but we've seen that oaths were commanded to be taken in God's name to the Israelites. God's people took oaths. David did, Abraham did, many others did. God himself swore oaths. The only thing was, if you swear an oath, you better keep your word. Now, before we jump to the New Testament, are there any questions on the Old Testament and oaths? All right, well, let's jump to the New Testament. And I find it, I think Jesus' words are just shocking after you've looked at the Old Testament. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to park here for a little bit. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus has come to earth, and he is giving his famous Sermon on the Mount, teaching his disciples what it looks like to follow him. We're going to be in verse 33 through 37 in Matthew chapter 5. Using a Pew Bible, that's 1,186. Brother Juan, would you read 33 through 37 for us? Oh, sorry. I just put you on the spot. Bible drill, stand up when you find it. Matthew 5, verse 33 through 37.
Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make your vows vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black, but let your statement be yes, or yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is of evil.
Thank you. So in the Old Testament, swearing falsely was a sin. Swearing carelessly was a sin. Jesus just said swearing at all is forbidden. You see that? Jesus just changed the rules. That's what he is apt to do. He is the bringer of the new covenant. And we see four times in the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard it said, but now I say this. You've heard it said, but now I say this. With adultery, with anger, and now with oaths. So he says, you've heard it said of old, don't swear falsely, but I say, do not swear at all. It's really surprising, isn't it? Didn't God swear an oath? He doesn't do anything wrong. Weren't the Israelites commanded to take oaths, to swear oaths? What's going on here, Jesus? And so I asked myself, what is going on? And then I looked at these examples in verses 34 through 36. I want to say, let me just read verses 34 and 37 and skip over his examples and see how nicely this flows. But I say to you, do not swear at all, verse 37, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. And so in the middle, Jesus inserts these examples. And he gives four things. Don't swear by heaven. Don't swear by the earth. Don't swear by Jerusalem. And don't swear by your head. Do you guys see that? He gives these four examples in between saying, just let your word be your word. Don't swear. And I ask myself, what is going on here? And I want to ask you guys, before we turn, I do have an answer. Why do you think Jesus is giving these examples?
He's commanded in the Old Testament before that Israel was never able to fulfill, but he's using an example. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're onto it. The Pharisees during this time, their Jewish leaders, the scribes, had created this whole crazy system of oath keeping. It would be like if you swear by Jerusalem, you don't have to keep your oath. You don't have to keep it. But if you swear to Jerusalem, you have to keep your oath. And that just giant list of rules where if you swear by this, don't worry about it. But if you swear by that, you better keep your oath. And it was really confusing. Jesus himself speaks to it. I'm going to ask you to turn one more time to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. And Jesus is going to tell us about this ridiculous system of oath keeping that the Pharisees had come up with. That's on page 1213 in your pew Bible. So Matthew chapter 23. We're going to look at verses 16 through 22. And Jesus is speaking. He's going to describe their system here. So let's say I'm going to volunteer to read 16 and 17, Isaiah, and then 18 and 19, Brother Phil. And then 20 to 22. Denny, you want to be good. Thank you. Go ahead, Isaiah.
You say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. And you will swear by the gift that is on the altar, it is bound by his oath. You blind man, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred?
Go ahead, Denny, 20 to 22.
Therefore, he who swears by the altar, swears by and by all things on. He who swears by the temple, swears by it and by him. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it.
Thank you. So the Pharisees had their system. If you swear by the temple, you're off the hook. You can break your word, but if you swear by the gold, well, then you have to keep your word. If you swear by the altar, don't worry about it. If you swear by the gift, you better keep it. Do you see that? Do you see how silly that is? And so I think that Jesus, in response to that, is saying, all right, one rule, keep your word. We're not going to play by these stupid rules of if you swear by this, you can lie. If you swear by that, you can't lie. We're going to keep our word. That does come to a question we have to ask ourselves. What about Christians today? Are we allowed to swear oaths? Is it forbidden? Our theological forebearers, the Anabaptists, refused to swear oaths. The Quakers as well. They even got an exemption. If they ever appeared in court, they could just say they would tell the truth and that would be good enough because they felt it, they thought it a sin to tell oaths. And as I thought about this, there is only one time in my life that I've taken an oath that I can remember. Hopefully I haven't done any more. You know, if you're a kid and you say stupid stuff, I hope I didn't. But I remember when my daughter Lydia was born, she was born overseas, and we had to go to the consulate to get her registered with the U.S. government. So we have baby Lydia, me and Virginia drive over to the city, it's another city. And part of the process that I didn't know about is we're going through it, her name's this, she was born here, blah, blah, blah. And they say, all right, raise your right hand. I go, okay. And Virginia and I raised our right hands. And he says, do you swear you're telling the truth? I said, yep. Virginia said, yep. That was the end of the process. And then Lydia was officially an American citizen. And looking, I hadn't thought about that a day later until I was looking at this passage and I thought, did I just sin? And I'm sure I'm not the only one who has sworn an oath. If you've sworn an oath, raise your hand. I'm thinking military people swear oaths, medical personnel swear oaths. If you've ever done anything in court, you swear an oath. I'm curious, Phil, is there a pharmacist's oath? Like, I will not give poison. Okay. That was a very important moment in your life. I know that doctors do. I think nurses have something that they do. Anything in the military, you swear an oath. So my question is, are those oaths sinful? Okay. It seems pretty clear, doesn't it? You shall not swear falsely. That's what it was said. But I say to you, don't swear at all. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. Oh man, I've done that too, Denny. You're right. Okay, Pastor Jordan.
What if it's just that they should not be necessary for Christians? You're right. Christians shouldn't like rely on this. My oath, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Said, you know, what if Christians were just men and women who would know the good, yes?
Yeah, you're right. I think. Well, go ahead, sir.
Is there a difference though between, because I'm assuming in all the biblical examples we have, it's somebody saying, you know, there's a situation and they say, I swear that this is, you know, I'm going to do this, whatever it is. You've never seen scripture an example of like an official, like, use word to tell me. Is that more of a confirmation that I'm confirming that this is true of that line? Is there a difference there, or is that the same thing?
Yeah, my opinion, and it's just that, is that there is a difference there between volunteering an oath and then taking an oath where it's required. And I get that. I know I said you turn one more time, but now we're going to turn one more time. Matthew chapter 26. If you'll go with me to Matthew chapter 26, Jesus has been arrested, and he has been taken to the high priests and the scribes, and he's being interrogated, page 1220. I think that's what I've written down. Yeah, Matthew 26, verse 62. And so Caiaphas, the high priest, and all these other are making all these false charges against Jesus. They're saying, he said this, he did this, blah, blah, blah. And Jesus isn't saying a word. He's just silent. Until Caiaphas puts Jesus under oath. Let's read that. We're going to read verses 62 to 65. Frankie, would you read for us?
Sure. The high priest stood up and said to him, "Do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Thank you, Frankie. So Jesus is silent until the New King James says, "I put you under oath by the living God." And then Jesus spoke the truth. I suppose Jesus could have remained silent some more. I suppose Jesus could have said, "Well, actually, I don't make oaths, but I'll just tell you." But instead, Jesus under oath spoke the truth. Do you see that? And so I infer from that, hopefully I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, that voluntarily making oaths is forbidden. We shouldn't have to, like Pastor Jordan said. When we're put under an oath, it is okay. Andy?
In contrast, a little bit further down the page, Peter.
Yeah, that's true.
Verse 72, he's denying, you know, Jesus says, like, again, he denied it with an oath.
Yeah.
And then he's in verse 74, then he began to curse on himself
and swear. Yeah. Now that was certainly a sin.
Yeah.
Swearing a false oath. Yeah. Do you guys agree? Disagree? Brittany?
I just have a question. Mm-hmm. So when we see scriptures that are telling us to obey those that God has already over us, to obey our rulers, and I know that there's lots of scripture where we draw a line where there's civil disobedience, and they're asking us to disobey God's word. Where does this fall into that? Is that something that should be addressed if we come across that, or is that where we're supposed to just sit in that?
Well, I would answer it this way, Brittany. It's not really an answer, and I apologize in advance. Some Christians would say, yes, we must draw the line there, and we must not swear. Some Christians would say, no, you can swear. When you're put under oath, go ahead. Jesus did it. I fall closer to those that would say, if you are put under oath, like if I have to testify in court and I'm supposed to swear to tell the truth, I'll swear to tell the truth. But in my daily interactions, I'm not going to resort to an oath to try to get people to believe me. Does that help?
Yes, that's exactly what.
Yeah, it's a tricky question. Phil?
In Jesus' answer there in Matthew 26, that's a callback also to Leviticus 5. Leviticus 5, one says, if anyone sins and that he hears a public adjuration to testify, those he witnesses, if he does not speak, he prepares the iniquity.
Mm-hmm. That's great, Phil. I hadn't thought of that.
So he's basically obedient to the law there in that circumstance. That, give us your testimony, and he did.
Yeah, and he did. Thank you.
I just found a passage and somewhere in the back of my mind, Galatians 1:20. So here, obviously, after Jesus said this, and it seems like Paul, in love for the Galatians, he really wants them to know he's serious. He adds in what I might do before God, I do not lie. So in a way, takes an oath. To clear his own skin, because he's generally a liar and wants to believe him now, but because he's battling for these relations to not be lost.
Yeah, it's certainly close to an oath, if it's not an oath exactly. It says, now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie. He certainly invokes God's name, and he makes a statement. To be honest, I don't see that as an oath, but it certainly is very close. I may be wrong. Dot, and then we'll go to Zach.
I think we have to really stand up for what we know is the law and against God. Even if somebody is saying, hey, right now, hey, it's in the rules now. It's in the law. It's the law of the land. You're supposed to accept this as now. I'm sorry.
Yep, there's certainly a line where we have to take a stand. Yeah, is that?
What about like marriage vows?
Yeah, so I may be splitting hairs here, but a vow is a little different from an oath. There are different words in the Greek and Hebrew, different words in English, obviously. And so a vow, that I tried to look this up, and the nearest I could tell is a vow is a very serious promise. And so, you know, you could argue, is that letting your yes be yes, your no be yo, be no be no? Maybe not, you know? But I don't think it's an oath, because I don't say, at least for my vows, I don't think you guys did either, you know, I swear by God to be faithful to you, you know, anything like that. But we did make a covenant. We did make promises. We did take vows. So, to be honest, I never thought about that much either until I started studying this passage. You know, like all these things you just do, and then you realize, oh, wait a minute. I would split hairs between a vow and an oath, but it certainly is a step beyond just saying, well, I said I would, so there. You can use that with your wives now next time. Just say, oh, I said it, and my yes is my yes, and my no is my no. So there you go. We might not go so well. Andy, we got to wrap up. We're getting late.
Yeah, something you said back when we were in the Old Testament, when God, he doesn't swear generally, but then there's a few times he swears by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews points out, generally, you swear by something greater, but I can't do that. And I almost wonder if, when Jesus is saying, let your yes be yes when we know, there's somewhere at the heart of that a call for us to be more like God. God, when he swears by himself, he's not really saying anything more, right? Because if I swear by God, I'm saying, he's holding me responsible, I'm calling down, curse on myself if I lie, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas God, just by saying something, like you said earlier, he's put himself, I mean, he's always going to swear by himself, whether he says it or not. And he's calling us to live with that sort of.
Yeah. And that's the bottom line. For Christians today of all ages, our word should be our bond. We should be careful to say yes. Don't say yes really quickly and then back out. That's not letting your yes be yes. Be careful when saying no. So we need to take care with our words, with our commitments, so that we can be like God and like Jesus said, to let our yes be yes and our no be no. And my opinion, for what it's worth, is if we are in a situation where an oath is required, military, medical, court, I think it's okay. All right. Well, let's stand, and we'll pray and be dismissed. If you have more questions or want to talk about it, I am right here. I'd love to talk.